Yepyanyadeva bhaktaya jante shraddhayanvita. Tepi mameva kauntaya yajantya vidhi purvakam. Translation. Krishna says, those who are devotees of other gods and who worship them with faith actually worship only me, O son of Kunti. But they do so in a wrong way, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Persons who are engaged in worship of demigods are not very intelligent, although such worship is offered to me indirectly, Krishna says. For example, when a man pours water on the leaves and branches of a tree without pouring water on the root, he does so without sufficient knowledge or without observing regulative principles. Similarly, the process of rendering service to different parts of the body is to supply food to the stomach. The demigods are, so to speak, different officers and directors in the government of the Supreme Lord. One has to follow the laws made by the government, not by the officers or directors. Similarly, everyone is to offer his worship to the Supreme Lord only. That will automatically satisfy the different officers and directors of the Lord. The officers and directors are engaged as representatives of the government, and to offer some bribes to the officers and directors is illegal. This is stated here as avidhi purvakam. In other words, Krishna does not approve the unnecessary worship of the demigods. Yepi anyadevata bhaktaya jante shadhyanvita tepi mam eva kaunteya yajantya vidhi purvakam. Those who are devotees of other gods and who worship them with faith actually worship only me, O son of Kunti, but they do so in a wrong way. Yeah, this is the second time I visited this astonishingly beautiful temple. It's a great milestone for the Krishna Conscious Movement in America. Such a beautiful temple has been constructed for the glorification of Krishna. Can't hear properly. All right. So, this temple is meant for the glorification of Krishna and for the propagation of the teachings of Krishna as we have received them from Srila Prabhupada. Most of you are coming from Hindu background, although the word Hindu in itself has no spiritual meaning. It's a conventional term, it's not a Sanskrit word. How many of you knew that previously, before coming to Srila Prabhupada's teachings, that the word Hindu is just, it's not a Sanskrit word at all? It's not. Did you all know that before you came? No. Most people don't know that it's just some word given by Muslims, actually. It was given as an insult. Ah, oh, look, some Hindu hai. Hum Hindu hai. Gaur se kaho. So, it turned from an insult into a... it was taken as a something to be proud about. But anyway, generally it's thought that in Hindu culture they worship many different gods, and Krishna is one of them. And different people think that different gods are better, and people who are Vaishnavas, they think Vishnu or Krishna is better. But ultimately it's all one. If we look in the dictionary or encyclopedia dictionary, we'll find that Hinduism is generally a general misunderstanding that Hindu, well, maybe it is a proper understanding, but it's a proper understanding of a misunderstanding that you can worship any god you like, and you, if you don't like all the ones, all the traditional ones, you can make up a few now and then. There's always some new god being made up. And you can worship anything or anything you like, because anyway, it's all a representation of the impersonal behind it. So in one sense, you're all very fortunate that you even know about the demigods, because most people have no idea. They just think that, well, asatyam apratishtam te jagadahur nishvaram. The world is just—it's just going on. It's just there. There's no God, or what to speak of this knowledge of the demigod. Well, Hinduism means there's knowledge that they exist, but there's no real idea who they are. Not a very clear idea. Most people, whatever they know about the demigods, they used to get from Amara Chitra Katha, the cartoon books. Now I guess it's from cartoons like, what's that, Chota Bheem? All this kind of, and for the modern children, they learn their Hindu studies from all this. So Srila Prabhupada has very kindly given us actual knowledge. How can we say actual knowledge? Because it's coming from Krishna Bhagavad Gita. If we're at all going to get serious about Vedic knowledge, we have to begin with Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita, the conclusion is, Krishna doesn't say to Arjuna that I am you and you are me and we are all together. And we're all one and Haribol. He doesn't say that. He says, Sarvadhaman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Surrender to me only. That's quite a claim. But why that should be, why Krishna is the only person who is eligible to make that claim, is described previously in Bhagavad Gita. Now, then as now, there are many people who worshipped different gods. They're little gods. And Krishna says here that, as many people say, well, if you can worship all different gods and it all goes to the same thing. And Krishna says, well, and here in this verse, Krishna says, well, in one sense that's true, but yeah, not really doing it in the right way. If someone says, well, I wanted to, the baby has the idea to get the food, but the baby just puts the food in his ear. So in one sense they're doing it, they got something like the right idea, but they had to be shown where to put the food in the mouth. So in the same way, if we worship the demigods, it's instead of giving food to the stomach, it's like giving food to the, trying to put it in the ear or up the nose or something like that. Or if we get the general, we want to water the tree. Oh, look, the tree, all the leaves look dried up. Let's put water on them. But it doesn't work, does it? You have to put water at the root. So these are two examples given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada often quoted. Yatataro mula nishechenena tripyanti tat skandha bhujo pashakha. What is the next line? So this is the example given, that food, well, first of all, the example is given of the tree. You have to water the root of the tree and you have to put food in the stomach. So if you try to do worship in another way, well, it's kind of getting the right idea, but really need to understand exactly where to put our worship in a manner that it will actually be effective. But people don't understand. They say, well, you worship Krishna, you see, you do some arati and offer some flowers and sing some bhajans, and then you worship Ganesh or Shiva or Mataji. It's all the same thing. But even though it's similar in many ways, the result is different. And people have the idea that it's all the same and it's all one. They're wrong, according to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, if we're actually to understand. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's introduction to spiritual life, and the topics are explained more in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 11th canto is Krishna's teachings to Uddhava. It's known as the Uddhava Gita, the same topics that Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, condensed and intense in Bhagavad Gita, because it's such an intense situation. There's just a short time to convince Arjuna, you've got to fight. And Arjuna wasn't easy to convince because he started off saying, "Na yodsya, I'm not going to fight." But Krishna convinced him. But with Uddhava there was more time, so it's in more detail. So this topic we'll find in 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna deals in more detail with the whole process of materialistic religion. What's wrong with demigod worship? Well, it's materialistic, it's not spiritual. There's a great difference. Worship of Krishna is spiritual because Krishna is the Supreme Spirit. Whereas worship of demigods, even though it's all looks to be the same, but it's for material results. Antavattu palante shang tad bhavat yalpame dasam. The results of worshipping demigods are temporary because it's asat. Asat means temporary. Na sato vidyate bhava na bhava vidyate sataha. The difference between sat means that which is eternal. Asat means that which is temporary. So worship of Krishna is sat. It's eternal because Krishna is sat-chit ananda. And the demigods, they're material. So whatever we get from them is temporary. This is, I'll just read some verses which Krishna says to Uddhava. And you can read. There are so many books being produced now, but we can read Bhagavatam. Best book of all. Amala Purana. So, Krishna speaking to Uddhava, some verses describing the process of materialistic religion according to the Vedas. Why do the Vedas give materialistic religion? Well, Krishna explains therein also. So, I'll read some verses. This is from the 21st chapter of the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Krishna says, "O saintly Uddhava, a person bereft of real intelligence is considered to have lost everything. Deviated from the actual purpose of his life, he becomes dull, just like a dead person." And Krishna, he's speaking here about followers of the Vedas. He says that because a person who's bereft of real intelligence, deviated from the actual purpose of life, they may be following the Vedas. And then, what to speak of nowadays, where people have no idea, they're worshipping all kinds of babas and bappas and ammas and dadabs and all, you know, anything or anyone except Krishna. And there was some bappa, they don't worship him anymore, he's in prison now. So, deviated from the actual purpose, they're following the Vedas, but deviated from the actual purpose of life, which is natevidu swartagating hi Vishnu. They don't know that the real purpose of life is to worship Vishnu. Then Krishna goes on, "Because of absorption in sense gratification, one cannot recognize himself or others." You see, everything, every word, I just have to go through quickly now, but if we think, there's so much to say about this. We can't recognize oneself or others, because if we think I am the body, then we don't know who we are. And we treat other people as bodies and people there to be utilized for my own sense. They are to be utilized for me, and the other people are thinking about us, that we should utilize ourselves for their sense gratification. So we don't know who we are. And what happens? Living uselessly in ignorance like a tree, one is merely breathing like a bellows. The same example is given in the second canto of Bhagavatam. Breathing, but like a bellows. You know what a bellows is? It used to be used. Nowadays there's not much. It used to be used in steel, making iron. And still there are some people in India who do that. Still going on. It's not all big industries. So bellows for making the fire blaze. So Krishna says, now he's talking about statements of scripture. Those statements of scripture promising fruitive rewards do not prescribe the ultimate good for men, but are merely enticements for executing beneficial religious duties, like promises of candy spoken to induce a child to take beneficial medicine. So for instance, they may say, "Well, go and take bath in the Ganges and you'll be freed from all your sinful reactions." But the real benefit of bathing in the Ganga is to think that this is coming from Krishna's lotus feet. Let me remember Ganga as coming from Krishna's lotus feet. But instead we think, let me dump all my sins here and then go out and do a bunch more. or worship different demigods. But the idea is just to engage people in some religious activities to regulate their life. But the real goal of life is to worship Krishna. Krishna continues, simply by material birth, human beings become attached within their minds to personal sense gratification, long duration of life, sense activities, bodily strength, sexual potency, and friends and family. Their minds are thus absorbed in that which defeats their actual self-interest. Heavy stuff, but it's true, friends. Those ignorant of their real self-interest are wandering on the path of material existence, gradually heading toward darkness. It's very heavy, isn't it? It sounds very heavy. You think, well, people are just singing and doing some bhajans, Jai Ganesh, this, that. Seems very nice, but Krishna says about them, they're wandering on the path of material existence, gradually heading toward darkness. Why would the Vedas further encourage them in sense gratification if they, although foolish, submissively pay heed to Vedic injunctions? Persons with perverted intelligence do not understand this actual purpose of Vedic knowledge and instead propagate as the highest truth the flowery statements of the Vedas that promise material rewards. Those in actual knowledge of the Vedas never speak in that way. Those who are full of lust, avarice and greed mistake mere flowers to be the actual fruit of life. Bewildered by the glare of fire and suffocated by its smoke, they cannot recognize their own true identity. My dear Uddhava, persons dedicated to sense gratification obtained through honoring the Vedic rituals cannot understand that I am situated in everyone's heart and that the entire universe is non-different from me and emanates from me. Indeed, they are just like persons whose eyes are covered by fog. So you see, by chanting the names of Krishna, what happens? Cheto Darpana Marjanam. The consciousness becomes clear. But by engaging in demigod worship, Vedic ritualistic activities without knowledge of Krishna, the consciousness becomes more covered. It's the smoke from the fire, it's like a fog that covers our whole vision. We're thinking, by doing this, I'll get more opportunities to lead a life of pious sense gratification. Those who are sworn to sense gratification cannot understand the confidential conclusion of Vedic knowledge as explained by me. Taking pleasure in violence, they cruelly slaughter innocent animals in sacrifice for their own sense gratification, and thus worship demigods, forefathers, and leaders among ghostly creatures. Such passion for violence, however, is never encouraged within the process of Vedic sacrifice. So, well, that will be especially... I don't think that would even be allowed in America. And it's not everyone who's worshipping demigods is sacrificing animals. But we'll find in Bengal especially, at the time of Durga Puja, Kali Puja, or any day at Kali Ghat in Calcutta, the goats are getting their heads cut off, and if people can't afford or don't want to sacrifice a goat, then chickens. So Vedic sacrifice going on, or not really Vedic, but killing animals in the name of religion. Continuing reading Krishna's instructions. Just as a foolish businessman gives up his real wealth in useless business speculation. Anyone had that experience? I know quite a few people who they think, I'll invest all my money in the business. And a good profit is made for the person they invested the money with, not for them. They lose it all. Foolish persons give up all that is actually valuable in life and instead pursue promotion to material heaven, which, although pleasing to hear about, is actually unreal like a dream. Such bewildered persons imagine within their hearts that they will achieve all material blessings. Those established in material passion, goodness and ignorance worship the particular demigods and other deities headed by Indra, who manifest the same modes of passion, goodness or ignorance They fail, however, to properly worship me. The worshippers of demigods think, we shall worship the demigods in this life, and by our sacrifices we shall go to heaven and enjoy there. When that enjoyment is finished, we shall return to this world and take birth as great householders and aristocratic families. Being excessively proud and greedy, such persons are bewildered by the flowery words of the Vedas. They are not attracted to topics about me, the Supreme Lord. The Vedas, divided into three divisions, ultimately reveal the living entity as pure spirit soul. The Vedic seers and mantras, however, deal in esoteric terms, and I am also pleased by such confidential descriptions. So we may think that, well, it's all okay. Whatever you do, just sing some bhajans, do some puja, be a good Hindu and all that. But Krishna quite thoroughly condemns anything but surrender to him. Why is that? Because Krishna wants that which is for our benefit. Krishna doesn't come to this world to promote Hinduism. He teaches who we are. We are his eternal servants, and we can actually be happy in his service. We're in this material world because we think we'll be happy separately from Krishna. So those of you who are studying Bhagavad Gita thoroughly, you can find many points in here which I just read. They reflect points which Krishna has made in different ways in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, elsewhere in the Bhagavata, in this 11th canto, there's a very important statement that the activities of demigods lead to both misery and happiness for living beings. We may think, I'll worship demigods and I'll be happy, but the happiness in this material world means it's mixed with misery. We can't avoid that. But the activities of great saints who have accepted the infallible Lord, Achyuta, as their very soul, result only in the happiness of all beings. Why do people worship demigods? Why do people do anything? They do it ultimately for happiness, shubh labh, but at the end of it all is people want happiness. But they think they will get happiness by material auspiciousness and material gain. So a whole education is required. Krishna comes to teach us, to give us the education in how we can actually be happy. And the first thing is to understand who we are. Without understanding that, we can't understand how we can be happy at all. Continuing from the Bhagavatam, those who worship the demigods receive reciprocation from the demigods in a way just corresponding to the offering. The demigods are attendants of karma, like a person's shadow. But sadhus are actually merciful to the fallen. In the Bhagavatam we find this also, that Lord Shiva, he's Ashutosh. He becomes, whatever people want, he'll give them. But Krishna doesn't do that. And so people, they may be a little reluctant to worship Krishna. He might not give me what I want, or might even take away. But those who pursue their real self-interest, they worship Krishna. Worship of the demigods is not on the platform of love, it's on the platform of material reciprocation. I worship you, you give something to me. But Krishna's more kind. Just like a child may desire, the mother is holding a bottle of some bleach or something for cleaning the toilet and looks very attractive. Child, give me to drink. Mother will not give that to the child, because she, even though the child becomes upset, but the mother knows what is the actual interest of the child, and she gives the child what is beneficial for the child, not just what the child thinks is beneficial. Then she has to educate the child also in what is actually beneficial for the child. In Bhagavad Gita, again, to summarize this whole statement, this just at near the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna states, Yami mam pushpitang vachang pravadanti avipaschita. Same word, avipaschita means not very, they don't know, foolish. Vedavada ratah partha nanyadastiti vadinaha. Kamatmana swargapara janma karma phalapradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhoga ishvarya gatim prati. Men of small knowledge are very much attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. So Krishna makes it very clear that by worship of Him, there is all benefit for us. And by doing anything else, well, there may be some kind of benefit in some activities, but not our ultimate benefit. Krishna makes it very clear. So these temples that Srila Prabhupada established, from exoteric vision, or in what ordinary people think, they think it's one kind of Hindu temple. I was just 2 days ago in College Station. Is that the name of the place? About 1.5 hours drive from here, something like that. And there was one Bengali lady, and she asked where I was going, and I said I was going to go to Houston, and she said, oh, you must visit the Durga Bari and the Sai Mandir there. Because she thought, well, she didn't know. She thinks, well, it's all the same. You worship Durga, worship Sai Baba, worship Krishna. It's all the same. So these temples of Srila Prabhupada's temples, they're meant not only for worshipping Krishna. Wait a minute. Not only for worshipping Krishna. What does that mean? That means we also worship Durga and Ganesh. No, not only for worshipping Krishna doesn't mean that we worship everyone else, but we also have to teach others only to worship Krishna. And why we should only worship Krishna. Otherwise, if we simply have a temple, people will come, but they won't get the real benefit that they're meant to get by coming in contact with Krishna's devotees and with Srila Prabhupada's movement. There is a tradition or a custom or a rule in temples that you come in, you take darshan. Before you leave, you should sit down. You all know that? You have to sit down. And so you see people, they come in, they say a few prayers, put 10 rupees in the box or whatever. And then there's a place for them. And then they sit down 5 seconds and they get up and go. But the real thing is they should sit and spend some time and hear. They should learn. It should be not just... Who is doing the worship? Brahmana. Brahmana doesn't mean someone who's just got a thread and they're ding, 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 and they're moving the incense round and round. But they're supposed to be persons who have spiritual knowledge, and they give that knowledge to others for the benefit of others. So they're very pure in their character, therefore they are given the adhika, they're given the eligibility, they're allowed to worship the deity, but they train others, they give education to others also about the purpose of life, why we worship Krishna here. Now if we go to different temples, then priests worshipping different demigods, and in one sense that is very good. More than once Srila Prabhupada was asked that what is better, to be a Christian worshipping one God or to a worshipper of Kali who offers meat and all these things to Kali? And Srila Prabhupada said to the worshipper of Kali is better because they're in the Vedic culture. So even to be in the Vedic culture, that opens one up more to Krishna consciousness, which is why it's very sad that there's so much conversion going on in India. That's another issue, but people, they're being taken away from and becoming inimical to Vedic culture. So in one sense, it's good. And we also go to temples of demigods and we offer prayers as we're taught from Brahma Samhita. Just like if we go to a temple of Lord Shiva, we'll recite the mantra from Brahma Samhita, the Kshiram Yatha Dadhi Vikara Vishesha Yogat Sanjayatena Hitata. Shirang yata dadivikaras vishesha yogat sanjayatena nahitata pritagasti heto yashambhutam apitata samupaiti karyad govindamadi purushantam aham bhajami. We worship Shiva as being non-different from Krishna, but different also. Just like yogurt is a product of milk, but milk is not a product of yogurt. Yogurt is only milk. It's only composed of milk, but it's a little different. So in the same way, Lord Shiva is non-different in one sense from Krishna, but in other ways, important ways, also different. So we're not against the demigods, but as Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita, there's by his pointing out that worship of demigods does not lead to the ultimate goal of life, and actually if we don't worship, as in this verse I just read, yajantya vidhi purvakam, worship of demigods, if they're worshipped in the wrong way, with the understanding that they are separate gods, without understanding that demigods are servants of Krishna, if we approach them, then we remain in the darkness of ignorance. So these temples are meant for giving the clear knowledge that Krishna is supreme, and chanting the name of Krishna and chanting the names of demigods is not all the same. It's actually, to think like that is one of the offenses against the holy name. So these temples, they should be beautiful, yes, no doubt, extraordinary. It's really something very, very, very special. So the devotees, they've made so much effort and sacrificed so much money to make this beautiful facility for most beautiful Krishna. So let us inform others also that all the demigods, they also are worshipping Krishna. So you also worship Krishna. And you don't need to worship Krishna. You don't need to worship the demigods. Because if you worship Krishna, they'll be satisfied. So, educational center. It's not only for coming and seeing, but seeing by hearing, seeing through the ears. Shruti kshita pata. Seeing by hearing and understanding, hearing Bhagavad Gita, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So that much I wanted to say now. Are there any questions, please? Yes, please. I don't want to worship so many gods, I want to just worship the formless God. And then you avoid all these arguments. Well, but immediately there's something wrong with this, what he says. As soon as you say, I want, then you put yourself in the center. I want, this is our whole disease. I want. But we should understand that we are subordinate entities. We are controlled. I want to live forever, but you can't. There may be so many things you want. But what we should do, we should understand. You say, I want to, formless God. Yeah, but God doesn't have to say, okay, and God says, oh, he wants me to be, okay, I'll be formless. He is as he is. And it's our duty to find out who he is and worship him. What is the truth that we should find out? Otherwise, I want this, tomorrow I want something else. Formless means there's no commitment. All these questions are just completely ridiculous. Well, what can you do? I mean, if someone wants to be a fool, if someone's committed, I want and I believe this, and you give them a good reason and they say no, what can you do? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, as the saying goes. What can you do if someone wants to spoil their human form of life? Then you can preach to them very strongly. Say, look, you've got this human form of life. You better find out what's going on, because you can become a cat or a dog or even a demigod. You're not going to become a demigod in heaven, not this time. But it's all punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. And then they'll say, okay, very nice. What about people who worship Buddha and Jesus? Well, they can go to Buddha or Jesus if they actually worship them. No, Buddha is not a demigod. Buddha is he's accepted as one of the Dashavatar, one of the 10 avatars, but in an unusual way. Buddha came to stop animal killing, but if you find the Buddhists, traditional Buddhists, for instance, in Sri Lanka and Malaysia and Thailand, they're all eating meat, so they lost the whole point of worshipping Buddha. And worshipping Jesus, well, Srila Prabhupada also pointed out they should follow the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said, echoing the law of Moses, thou shalt not kill. So they could worship Krishna better by following that first of all. Thou shalt not kill, which means don't kill animals either. No slaughterhouses. Actually, all this so much talk of religion, philosophy. In the meantime, people are eating meat from slaughterhouses, which is very sinful. What will people understand if they're involved in such violence? Rather than discussing with them, we can say that, first of all, we should see what are the principles of religion. Cleanliness, austerity, truthfulness, mercy. Everyone will agree, right? And mercy, where's your mercy if you're killing animals? There's so much discussion. So many people are getting killed by terrorists. But every day, millions of animals are being killed. The humans are the biggest terror. I think it was last year in India, there was some bird flu. And in one day, in just two or three days, there were over a million chickens killed in India. But anyway, they would have killed them. They're not keeping them as pets. If you consider there are, how much is it now, about a billion and then a billion, 100 million people in India. So probably, at a conservative estimate, there must be at least 1 million chickens killed every day in India. That's very sinful. But people like the taste of meat. And what philosophy are they going to understand? First, there should be mercy. You try and understand. What are you doing here? Are you born in India?
Yeah.
You came here for some job using some better brain than the average person in America, which is why they called it all the way from India, is it? Doing some brain job? You're not cleaning toilets, I suppose. Okay, so you're a very intelligent person. I request you, as you have good intelligence Krishna has given you, and you have at least the tendency to come to this temple, you please read this book, apply your intelligence to this, your God-given intelligence, and try to understand what are Krishna's teachings, best teachings. Please understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. And when you've done that, you can take 18 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. No, it's nothing to laugh at. It's the greatest benefit in human life after millions of births to get the opportunity. Such knowledge, you won't, whatever they taught you in school and university and whatever you had on the TV and the internet, there's nothing even approaching this. If one is very fortunate, after many, many millions of births, one will take an interest in the subject matter which is taught by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's my request to you. Hare Krishna. Request means, please do it. Don't waste your human form of life. Lagdva sudurlavam idam bahu sambhavante manusham arthatam anityam api hadhiram turnam yateta napatet anumrityayava nisrayasaya vishayakala sarvatasyat. This one verse, which is also from this 11th canto of Bhagavatam, spoken by Krishna, we should every day just think. It should be the motto for our whole life. What is it? We are now in a human body. Right? Everyone understands that. You don't need to be a great philosopher to understand that. We are now in a human body. After many, many lifetimes, we got a human body. But it won't last very long. But the human body is the only opportunity to get free from birth and death. Therefore, having got this body before the inevitable death of this body, which will come very soon, we should do whatever is required so that we don't get born again. Isn't that great advice? And then Krishna also says as a footnote, if you think, well, let's enjoy ourselves, after all, we're in Texas. And Krishna says, of course, the cows in Texas are not enjoying themselves. Krishna says that sense gratification is available. You get it as a cat, as a dog, as a hog, as a worm, as a bird. But the human life should be utilized for self-realization. Great advice. You won't get any better advice anywhere. Then all other questions fall into focus when we understand this point and get proper guidance from Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Hare Krishna. You want to announce those books, please, sir?